Yes.
2 minutes. 2 minutes. We're good. Oh, I get
it. They're giving him three now.
Nope. I told him three. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to call to order, well, open, this public hearing of the Joint Committee on Student Success here in beautiful Hermiston, Oregon. First of all, I would like to thank everyone for being here today. Our committee, a joint committee of House and Senate members, 13 of our 14 members are here today on the second day of our three-day tour that started in Baker and is going to be going tomorrow through Arlington. And we have had wonderful opportunities today to visit a variety of locations around the region, to see some innovative things that you're doing in early learning, in tribal attendance, in wraparound services, as well as have the opportunity to meet with a variety of educators and school board members and administrators and business leaders. And I just want to thank you for having us here. This is an open public hearing. It is limited to 2 hours, but I think we're going to be able to get in under that deadline. We are limiting speakers. I upped it a little bit to 3 minutes to give folks a little more time, but to keep us making sure we get through everybody. I will call three folks at a time, and then I'll call the next people to be on deck. They can come sit in the front. But I do, and if for any reason you decide not to speak or you think of something the next day that you would like to get as part of the record into this, you can send it via email to our joint committee address, which I'll say out loud, but you can see afterwards, JCSS, which is Joint Committee on Student Success, .exhibits, plural, at Oregon Legislature, all spelled out, .gov. And you will need to turn that in before 9 o'clock tomorrow night to be part of the record of this hearing. So with that, I'm going to start. I'd like the committee to briefly introduce themselves and say where they're from. And I will take today, I'm Barbara Smith Warner. I represent Northeast Portland, House District 45 in the legislature, and I'm the House Chair of this committee. I'm going to skip over my Vice Chair because he's going to be our kind of opening testimony here and take Chair's privilege and ask the House members to introduce themselves first.
So I'm Brian Clem. I represent Salem, and I've been in the legislature about 10 years. I primarily am involved in agriculture and natural resources committees. I chair the Ag, Water, Natural Resource, Land Use, but I've got a 10-year-old daughter in public schools and care deeply about the mission of this committee as well.
I'm Sherry Springer, State Representative, House District 17. I'm from SIO, and I represent the eastern parts of Linn and Marion counties.
I'm Diego Hernandez. I serve on House District 47, East Portland. I also serve on the Reynolds School Board on my second term.
Hi, Carl Wilson, House District 3, Grants Pass.
Hi, I'm Julie Fahey, State Representative from West Eugene, Junction City, and parts of rural Lane County.
And I'm Arnie Roland, the Senate co-chair of this committee. My district is District 5. It goes from Coos Bay, where I live, to Tillamook Bay on the north end, and then into the valley in Sheridan and Falls City. Exciting to be here. Education has been my life. I was a high school principal before I did this. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to my Vice Chair.
Thank you. Senator Tim Canope, representing Bend, Redmond, Tumalo, and Sun River.
Hi, I'm Kim Thatcher. I'm representing Senate District 13. It starts in Kaiser, where I live, to up to the south part of Hillsborough.
Senator Kathleen Taylor represents Southeast Portland, Milwaukee, and Oak Grove.
Alan DeBoer, Senate District 3, which is Southern Oregon, the Medford, Ashland, Talent, Phoenix, Jacksonville, and Applegate Valley.
I'm Senator Lou Frederick. My district is North and Northeast Portland, the airport, the Lloyd Center, and University of Portland area.
I'm Bill Hansel, State Senator for District 29. I'm not a member of this committee, but they allowed me to sit up here at the big table since I represent the district that the committee is meeting in. Thank you.
And with that, I would like to introduce the co-chair of the committee, Representative Greg Smith, who also has the great honor of representing the district that we are in now. Thank you so much for everything you've done to help make this a very successful trip. And please go ahead. I won't run the timer for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the record, my name is Greg Smith, State Representative of District 57, which spans from Milton Freewater to the beautiful city of Hermiston, Stanfield, and Umatilla, Morrow County, Gillam County, Sherman County, and into the best parts of Duffer and Antelope in Wasco County. First of all, let me begin by saying thank you so much for agreeing to host the hearing here today and for visiting Hermiston all day today. I'd want the folks in Umatilla and Morrow County to know that when I approached both of you in the conversation, where should we have a hearing, the two of you jumped at the opportunity to come here. And that says a tremendous amount about the two of you and your interest in Eastern Oregon and your interest in the kids of this part of the state. So thank you so much for your willingness to be here. And for each of you committee members, thank you. We appreciate you spending your time in Umatilla and Morrow County. Thank you. Very quickly, I just want to share a brief thought with you. The folks in District 57 perhaps are very similar to the folks in your district. We care about our kids. We care about our community. We care about our senior citizens. We care about the state of Oregon. And so we come to you tonight as citizens from Umatilla and Morrow County to let you know we stand ready to work with you, to be part of the conversation of how do we create student success in Oregon. We know there's going to be many tough conversations. We know there's going to be dialogue. We know there might even be some hard votes. But we want you to know this district stands ready to be part of the solution of making Oregon a better place to live. So thank you so much for allowing us to have this opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity to hear from citizens that range from business to the classroom. I hope you'll take a moment and listen to what they have to say. The folks from this part of the state are good, honest, hardworking people, and again, they want to be part of the solution. Thank you for letting me be here.
Thank you. Okay, our first two, actually I'm going to call the first three people up, Julie Mancini, Heidi Sipe, and Gartu Finley. And then on deck, we'd like to have Dave Drotzman and Byron Smith. So Dave and Byron can come sit in these seats up in the front to prepare while Julie Mancini, Heidi Sipe, and Gartu Finley come up here.
This is going to count down while I'm up here.
It will. It's a great visual reminder.
Hi, everybody. First of all, I honor the work that you're doing on this committee, the travels you're making, the time it takes, the energy it takes to take in the information from the citizens around the state. I'm here representing a nonprofit called College Possible.
Can you introduce yourself, too?
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I'm Julie Mancini. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit called College Possible. I'm here because of our work in Umatilla and in Eastern Oregon, and we are a college access program working with low-income students who have many, many barriers on their way to applying to, enrolling in, and finishing college. We work intensely with juniors through junior year, working on raising the scores of ACT, and senior year is spent. The students come to our sessions for 4 hours a week, all through junior year and senior year. We have near peer coaches who are AmeriCorps members, and each coach has a cohort of 40 students. Senior year is spent with applications, with scholarships, with FAFSA, and all of the details involved in getting admitted to, finding money for, and enrolling in college. I'm humbled by the work that our students do because they face many barriers. We started in East County because people in Portland thought that East County was being left out. So we're in Centennial, David Douglas, Gresham, Madison, Park Rose, and Reynolds. When our students graduate from high school, they also get 6 years of coaching through college. It's tech-connected coaching. Each coach has about 80 students in their portfolio, and again, it's near peer coaching. But 3 years ago, it dawned on us that this wasn't available to most everybody in the state. So 2 years ago, we're in our second year, we started a rural program. We call it our statewide initiative. In Northwest Portland, or Northwest Oregon, we're in Gaston, Rainier, St. Helens, and Clatskanie. And in Eastern Oregon, we're in Umatilla, McLaughlin, Riverside, and Irrigan. Our coaches are tech-connected, but come out here once or twice a month to meet with their cohorts. Part of this was available to, part of us, we were able to do this because we have received money from the legislature. We are in our third year of funding, and it allowed us to certainly grow in the East County area, but allowed us to begin this program in rural Oregon, which we would hope to extend. I want to thank you for your work. I want to thank you for your past support, and I want to thank you for being here tonight. Thank you.
Good evening. Heidi Sipes, superintendent in Umatilla. I was unable due to some medical appointments to be with you earlier today, but I know you heard from our great kids, and I appreciate your willingness to come out here. And I certainly wasn't going to let you be in my backyard without coming to visit you this evening. So just thank you so much. One of the things, I know that you've heard so much throughout today, but one of the trends that I've seen in a lot of my state work, I continue to chair the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. I just finished up with the Governor's Council for Educator Advancement, and I also serve on the Executive Board for the Oregon School Athletic Association. And there's a common thread that continually comes up in all of those organizations and all of the work that we do, and that is that geography matters a lot. And I know that your willingness to come here proves your commitment to really tuning into geography. But with that, the only way that we can ensure that rural schools and rural students who have all the talent, but often none of the access, have equitable opportunities throughout the state is by supporting partnerships. College Possible, the Oregon After School Network, Oregon Ask, and Oregon First are really the only three organizations that we've ever been able to partner with that have a metro focus. And most places that are providing really great services in the metro region aren't willing to extend beyond the corridor. And so when those partnerships are available, we jump at them and are always very thankful for those opportunities. But I would just ask, as you continue to do your work moving forward, that anytime you hear one of those really great things somewhere else, that you remember that our kids need it too, and they can't get it only just by VTEL or by the occasional field trip. We really need to have that same saturation level and exposure level. Anything at all that I can do to help think through those scenarios, think through solutions, I will always do. And I just wanted to make sure that we remember the geographic differences. Everything else with funding, diversity, all of that, I know you've been hearing that all day and you heard it from kids too, so I won't waste your time with that, but thank you.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Garth Finley.
What interesting handwriting you have, Garth.
I get a little fast
sorry about
sometimes.
That.
Big fan, Julie. My name is Garth Finley. I'm a rep with the Pacific Northwest Regional Council of Carpenters, and so I cover a big area. I was on staff for 4 years in Eastern Washington. I was an apprentice-trained carpenter starting in 2000. I came from a public school, rural area, and shop classes. But really, I kind of bounced around working jobs, construction. I mean, great jobs. They took me around the world. I worked as a carpenter for the National Science Foundation, spent a couple of years down in Antarctica and elsewhere in the world. But essentially, as a rep and cyclically in this country, right now we have more people going out the door with experience than we have a pool to draw from. I actually live in Powell Butte as of about a year and a half. And I cover a big area, Eastern Oregon, Hermiston. I'm up here visiting jobs today. We've got a lot of data centers, Lamb Weston, great project, great people, great contractors. I like what the Port of Morrow is doing. But when we talk about CTE, the UBC, which is the international, I report to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, they have a nationally recognized program, Career Connections, that's been adopted by 21 schools in the great state of Oregon. And through CTE, it is construction career, technical education, if completed by individual gains preferred entry. And through the UBC, the certificate recognizes they have completed three phases of the curriculum, and this is in high school. So this gets them job ready for the apprenticeship. And that's kind of a great thing through the articulation agreement. Essentially, I was explained to a good member that showed up here in support of me tonight, is it's a catcher's mitt that's catching these kids so they don't bounce around, end up here, low-paying jobs. They can start out, but through the apprenticeship, they can gain an AA degree, which is 2 years. I mean, they can either continue or they always have a craft or a skill to fall back on. So I just wanted to speak on that. And yeah, thank you guys for what you're doing. Last year, I kind of did the same thing. My boss encouraged me to get to see the state of Oregon. And I hit some schools out in Crane to, I mean, great places. I hit Burns, Baker City. I've been talking to schools. Yesterday, I was at the Umatilla School and spoke with a group of seven. They're building planter boxes, staining picnic tables. And we talked outside, gave them pencils, pens, and good information to PNCI, which is our apprenticeship in Portland. And just kind of being that focal point, that mitt, and catching these kids. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. Okay, next up we have Dave Drotzman and Byron Smith. And on deck, if Donna Rainboth, Christina Treka, and Matt Yoshioka want to come and sit up front. Great. Thank you both for being here.
All right. Thank you. Co-chairs, co-vice chairs, thank you, members of the committee, for coming here to Hermiston to hear our thoughts and ideas about student success and about this incredibly important issue in our state. I know that your committee's focus is on education and student success.
Could you introduce yourself, please?
I'm sorry. Byron Smith, city manager, city of Hermiston.
Thank you.
And this focus on student success at some point is going to have to come to the point of talking about funding. And that's an issue that affects all special districts or taxing districts throughout the state. So tax compression is an issue for us, for school districts, counties. 100% of the Oregon counties are in tax compression, 86% of school districts, 65% of cities. That limits the ability of local jurisdictions to work on their own problems and try to come up with solutions. The numbers I'm going to talk about are the latest numbers put together by the Oregon Department of Revenue, but the city of Hermiston is losing in this fiscal year $232,000 in tax compression. And just as a point of reference, that is about two new police officers. If that was something that we wanted to do, that's what we are not able to do. So in these numbers are embedded the costs of PERS, medical insurance costs that are going up drastically for us, and I know those similar issues are for school districts. And so the Hermiston School District is in a similar situation. They're almost $1 million in compression. That's 9.6% of their annual property tax revenue. So maybe there's a solution. I know that there are lots of people that are working on that, looking at that, but a solution that would allow us to use those revenues locally to be able to work on our own problems and try to solve those. These statistics really are just a representation of our struggles as we're growing here to meet the needs of our residents, people that are at things that they're asking us to provide. And this doesn't even come into play as we look at trying to make improvements. And so I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this. And from the city standpoint, we would be willing to work and help on any kind of a solution that would help a local jurisdiction solve their own problems. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Dave Drotzman. I'm the mayor of the city of Hermiston. Welcome to our community. Thank you for your time and service to the state. We appreciate you visiting with us here It's always a great honor to have you in our community, so thank you for your time. I'm a local optometrist. I'm a small private business owner. I'm currently the mayor of the city of Hermiston. I serve on the League of Cities Board of Directors and on the League of Cities Tax and Finance Committee. Prior to this, I served 8 years on the Hermiston School District Board of Directors. I'm a public school product. I graduated from a public high school. I went to 2 years at a community college. I went to a state school, and I graduated from Pacific University in Forest Grove. I'm here in support of schools. It's a community's number one resource for recruitment and retention of business and families. We are fortunate to have some wonderful schools and a great community that supports them. I'm not here tonight to discuss the merits of the education system. You have some significantly smarter people in the room to discuss curriculum and programs with you. We all know the purpose of this committee is to not only identify the areas of success around the state to provide a better product for our students and our communities, but also to discuss the downfalls of our system, and that always includes a conversation around funding. I would like to encourage you to consider the current tools within your disposal to make improvements to the funding system that affect our schools and cities similarly. We currently have a property tax system put in place 20 years ago that is failing our schools and cities. It took all local control away from us financially and has placed that burden and responsibility in your hands. As costs are spiraling faster than the 3% inflationary cap, this biennium, one-third of the tax for school funds will come from local resources, the state making up the difference. Prior to 5 and 50, it was the reverse. The schools are in a unique situation that they are held harmless by compression because the state backfills those losses. However, your general fund is now 50% school support. The cities don't have that opportunity. As Mr. Smith indicated, we lose $235,000 annually due to compression. We've created a cannibalization of resources. We're all fighting for those additional dollars as new levies for valuable resources are passed. However, the city could lose an additional $200,000 this year due to recently passed levies to fight fire and a possible extension service district. We've also created a system that pits neighbor against neighbor. One neighbor can vote in a tax that doesn't have to pay, but the other neighbor does. The local control and fairness are gone. I have two suggestions tonight for you to consider. Number one, get back to real market assessment. Originally, the assessed market value was meant to give a 10% break. That's grown to 35%. In Multnomah County, it's closer to 50. That's an additional $200 billion of assessed property value we could tax. Number two, amend the caps up by a dollar initially, generate an additional $800 million in next biennium for schools, and use that to buy down the PERS debt, then tie the cap increases to an inflationary number like CPI. Unfortunately, we've lost the local control to make these changes. I would encourage you to support cities and schools in this process because we are now dependent on you to fix it. Please help us with that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you both. Okay, next up, Donna Rainboth, Christina Trecha, and Matt Yoshioka. Just please introduce yourself as part of your testimony.
Hi, my name is Donna Rainboth, and I am the director of the GOES STEM Hub, which is housed at Eastern Oregon University. I'm also an assistant professor of education there. I wanted to share some of the things about GOES STEM. We serve 7 counties and 35 school districts. We have the largest geographic region of any of the STEM hubs in Oregon. We've established 3 primary priorities, which are STEM awareness, pipelines and pathways, STEM systems for education, and communication of rural STEM perspectives, which is why I'm here and happy to see you here as well. I wanted to share just a couple of the programs that we're doing. I gave you some handouts. I know you heard about early childhood last night in Baker. We have a Head Start program that we've been working on. It's a 2-year program. Teachers are receiving professional development and then implementing it in their classrooms with their kids. One of the projects they did was to plant tulips in the fall. The kids documented when they planted those tulips. They've watched them come up this spring. They've been measuring the height of those tulips, and then they documented when they bloomed, and they're putting that information on a website that shows all of the tulip planting programs in North America. So these are 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. I also wanted to highlight the fact that EOU has now implemented a STEM methods course for all our elementary pre-service teachers. So they are at least leaving the program with some knowledge of STEM and how to implement STEM in their classrooms. We also have a Chief Science Officers program. A shout out to Heidi Seip. She's helped a lot with that program in Umatilla. Those are high school kids that come to a STEM Leadership Institute during the summer at EOU and then develop projects during the school year that they carry out. One of those was kids in a small rural school who taught STEM lessons to fourth graders for 4 weeks. So they went down to the fourth grade classroom teaching that. And when I complimented those kids on what they'd been doing, one of them said to me, "Yeah, I've never gotten this kind of opportunity because I've always been a special ed kid. So I've never been able to go and do these kinds of things till this year. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity." And those are the kind of kids I hope, those and all our kids, that we can really help reach their potential, shine, know that they can get out there and do things as well. So what I'm hoping for is that we can continue to grow our STEM programs around the state and be willing to share those with other regions. Thank you for letting me speak and for coming out here.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Christina Trecha. I'm the Oregon Science Project Director, and you might remember me, maybe some of you, I tagged onto your tour of Baker Technical Institute yesterday. So the Oregon Science Project seeks to build leadership in the often under-resourced rural and semi-rural areas. So bringing those teachers out who are doing great things, who are maybe in that teacher learning ecosystem where the support for the amazing work they're doing doesn't get beyond their classroom or maybe beyond their building. So asking questions about how they can connect to the larger resources, similar to what Heidi was saying, that accessing the metro resources and those ideas and resources that are happening there, and how do they happen all around the state. We all know what's happening in Beaverton around science, what's happening in other schools, and how can we make these connections. So I'm here to encourage you to think about what you've seen. So I was part of that tour. You met some great teachers like Megan Alameda. She's one of our learning facilitators in the Oregon Science Project. I spent today in Athena working with another learning facilitator. And this evening we have a learning facilitator here, Sandra Rice from Hermiston, is a teacher on special assignment. And she and a middle school teacher, Ben DiCarlo, are working with 25 Hermiston teachers to think in new ways about communicating about what it means to learn science in this era of the next generation science standards. But what I really want you to think about is that you're all here because you care about education, and kids' stories are really important, and the community stories are really important. And we hear a lot of things about employability, we hear a lot of things about caring about family and culture and community. You can have the most dynamic teacher, but if they don't have the infrastructure and the learning ecosystem to make the change that they know they need to make, they're unable to make it, and they may leave your community. Last night you heard from a Latina who is a mother who was saying, "My children need to have the same teacher in elementary school throughout the year." Teachers will leave the profession if they get their credential, maybe in a program like at Eastern, now the rural university designated, we know that it is, but designated now, that provides so much preparation for our teachers that are serving children in Greater Oregon. If you get into a situation where you're in elementary and Oregon is 50th on time spent on science in elementary, you get in a classroom and you say, "I've learned all these dynamic things, I have all these cultural competencies, I'm bilingual," and the teacher that is mentoring you says, "We don't do science in elementary, we read some books about it, but we don't do it because it's not mandated and it's not on a test," then it's not going to happen. STEM is beautiful, but it's also abstract, and if you don't start an early education and an elementary with providing teachers with the support and the professional learning for the administrators, so decisions are made at the district, the building, and the classroom level, please think about how you can make that happen at the district level. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Matt Yoshioka. I'm the Director of Curriculum Instruction and Assessment for the Pendleton School District. Recently served on the Governor's Educator Advancement Council and was recently appointed to the Educator Advancement Committee. and want to speak just a little bit about some of those, the committee's goals and focuses, encourage your support to continue for that committee and for the goals that we have. One is investing in our teachers. We know that it's about the teacher in the classroom that's going to increase student achievement, and we need to invest in our teachers. It's about people, not programs. Related to that is the fact that in Eastern Oregon, it's very difficult for us to find teachers at all, let alone those with a diverse background of diversity that represent our student enrollment, our student population. So we are dedicated to investing in supporting our upcoming educators and encouraging people to enter the profession of teaching, which has become more and more difficult in recent years, and encourage you to do the same. We also are dedicated to equal funding. I'm proud to represent, you know, rural Eastern Oregon. Most of the districts in the state of Oregon are small, are rural, yet the funding is not equitable. If you look at the competitive grant system that currently exists in our state, the majority of the funding goes to the larger districts that have the resources to attain those. And I'm dedicated to, and I hope that you are too, in supporting our rural school districts, our smaller districts that, that need that funding to develop their teachers, to get the science curriculum that they need so they can teach it in the classrooms. Also very dedicated to early childhood education. Want to make sure that we continue on the path that we've started, that I think the state of Oregon has started down, encouraging early childhood education. I know in Pendleton we have a full-day kindergarten program, and we have started a very small district-run preschool program and are seeing the benefits of that, great benefits of student achievement and learning already, and hope that we can continue to fund those and continue the program and see it grow and not go away, as often happens with funding sources. Just want to thank you again for coming out here and for supporting the Educator Advancement Committee, and encourage you to continue on that path. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for coming. So that is the end of folks who signed up beforehand. I see people in the audience who have not spoken. I would just like to make another call. Anyone else who would like to come and speak? You don't have to speak for 3 minutes. You could speak for less. Yes, please. Come on forward and identify yourself for the record, please. And you don't have to be in a uniform to take me up on that offer.
I'm sure you're thinking I'm in the wrong place.
And if your name is at all complicated, if you could also spell it for us, too, because we keep a written record as well.
Chief.
C-H-I-E-F.
Chief Darla Huxel, Umatilla Police Department.
Could you spell your last name?
H-U-X-E-L. Darla. I want to talk about some of the positive things that we have going on with relationship with our school district. We have worked very hard to form very positive relationships by doing community programs together. One of the things that makes that happen is funding that the school district gets to provide these programs, especially after school programs. So we're able to partner with them. I mentioned community programs. We have a community accountability board that where we work, members of our community work directly with students that are at risk or perhaps get in trouble on minor offenses. And we work with them and allow the community accountability board to come up with solutions on how to help that student. We also have a truancy board where our goal is to help the school keep those kids in school, because ultimately my goal is to not have students committing crime in my community. And I know that the more that they're involved with school activities and after school programs, the less I have to become involved with them. And that makes me very happy. So we're always trying to compete for money, but I can tell you that money spent in education is good money spent. So I just encourage you to help with whatever funding possibilities help keep our programs on track in Umatilla. And obviously a shout out to Heidi for all of her hard work. So thank you very much. And thank you for coming to Eastern Oregon. It's beautiful.
Happy to be here. Thrilled to be here. Thank you, Chief. Okay, any other takers? Okay, well, again, I would like to thank everyone in the audience, all of the folks. We have spoken with well over 100 folks today, community members, students, here yesterday in Baker. Tomorrow we'll be heading off to Arlington and looking forward to that. And so with that, I would like to thank all of my colleagues for being here as well and adjourn this meeting.